Amen.
Our scripture today comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin, which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together in your word. Bless this time in these words. Help us to understand your instruction. Allow our eyes to see and our ears to hear. We pray these things in your name, and all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. As we move to the end of 1 John, the author begins to wrap up his letter with practical instruction on prayer. Prayer is an essential part of the Christian's life. We need to be in prayer with the Lord. Not only do we need to be in prayer, but we need to be confident that He hears and that we understand how we should pray and what we should ask for. Before we dive in, I want to begin with an example. Parents, how many times have you asked your children to do something? Maybe it was to put an item away or be ready for bed. When the required assignment is not completed, we approach the child, and the child's answer is, "Oh, I didn't hear you." Sometimes as parents, bosses, older siblings, etc., we will have someone ask questions of us, and we will be so engrossed in what we are doing that we won't hear them. The question goes unanswered. Many times my kids have asked me a question while I was in the middle of something, and I answer with quick, "Yeah, sure, okay, whatever." Did I hear them? No, not really. This happens in our everyday life. We need to understand the Lord does not do this to us. He hears us. If a prayer isn't answered in the way that we see fit, it's not because He didn't hear. In verse 14 we read, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." The Lord hears our prayers. Now we know that He hears them. Verse 15 reads, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." John states that we have confidence in Him. We should ask according to His will, and He hears us. So how should we pray? Matthew 6, 5-13. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." When we look at 1 John 5, 14 and 15, those verses can be dangerously misinterpreted. The thought process can easily be taken as, if I ask, I should receive. And the following result, hey, why didn't this happen? We need to go to our Lord in prayer. And we should ask for what we desire, but ask for it according to His will. God's will is perfect, ours not. Each week during service, you guys should have remembered the prayer that we just read. because we read it together. And it's the right thing to do. But the best part of the prayer is when we pray together, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are praying for God's will to be done. We see the perfect example in Jesus as he prays in Matthew 26. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Jesus prayed, "But as you will, and your will be done." Even though Jesus knew what was coming, he prayed for the will of the Father to be done. Let's look at other verses about proper prayer. John 14:13, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." James 5:16, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Matthew 21:22, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." James 5:14-15, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." And John 16:23, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Let's return to John, 1 John 5:14 and 15 again and read through it. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." We are to have confidence. We are to pray according to his will, and he hears us. Moving into verse 16. Excuse me 1 second. Verse 16. "If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that." What is the sin leading to death? All of us in this room are going to die. Our lives will end. Our bodies will cease to be alive. The death of our physical bodies is not what is being discussed in this verse. The death is being referred to is a spiritual death. Many people have opinions about what sin could lead to death. Throughout history, there have been several interpretations. Some have argued that some sins cannot be forgiven, i.e. murder. But look at some of the people mentioned throughout the Bible. Jacob lied to steal what didn't belong to him. Moses, murdered. David, adulterer, murderer. Paul persecuted the early Christians. Were their sins forgiven? If they can be forgiven, then what sins lead to death? Look at what we talked about last week in the beginning of 1 John 5. There's one way to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, the light. So what sin leads to death? Not believing. Rejecting the deity of Christ. As John says in 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you do not have life, you have death. Let's look at a few more examples from Scripture. John 8, 24 through 30. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Then they said to Him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, Just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but He who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from Him. They did not understand that He spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. As He spoke these words, many believed in Him. Mark 3, 28 through 30. Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit. Matthew 12, 31 through 32. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. And finally in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 through 12. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or for what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. What is the sin that leads to death? The sin of the unbeliever. The sin of not confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the one way to the Father. We need to take a minute and remember the context once more of the letter that is being written. Who is this being written to? We have the group that has left the believers. These heretics have denied the deity of Christ, and in doing so, become antichrists. The people who have separated were from the believers. Think about this for a moment. The people who were now heretics were from that group. They had been brethren, friends, maybe family. Do we see this in our churches today? Sure. One of the saddest, if not the saddest, experiences we have as Christians is watching loved ones, brethren, friends, and family members separate from us and leave Christ's church. But John doesn't stop there, and he adds another point at the end of the verse. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. Does this mean we should stop praying for those who have rejected Christ, whose eyes are not opened? Those who are in sin that is leading to death. We can pray for them to have their eyes opened, to come to understand the truths. But if we are praying for God to go easy on them, they don't understand, or to have their consequences removed, are we praying for His will to be done? What we should be praying for, what we would be in that situation praying for, is against what Scripture has laid out for us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Unbelievers are deserving of death, as we all are, without the intervention and saving grace of our Lord. And to pray for another outcome would clearly oppose what Scripture has stated. We should not be praying for them to be given mercy and taken easy on. We should be praying for them to be brought to the Lord, for their eyes to be opened, for them to understand and to join with us. Scripture shows what God's will is towards the sinners who are not covered by the blood of Christ. Looking at 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Well, what is unrighteousness? Unrighteousness of heart and life? A deed violating law and justice, or acts of unrighteousness? Unfortunately, we are sinners. We commit acts of unrighteousness, but there is hope. We can pull in the context from the earlier verses. Remember when the author stated, "We do not sin if we are born of God." This is showing a life of continuing sin. Christians will sin. They don't live a life free of sin. However, they do not live in sin. And the sin does not lead to death for the believers. Why? Because our Lord Savior Jesus Christ died to take our place. We are forgiven and the price is paid. This does not give us free rein to sin. Our desire should not be to sin. If we have the Spirit abiding in us, we will be in conflict with sin. We cannot stay in a life of sin. 1 John 4:13 states, "By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." And then 1 John 3:9 states, "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God." Now, we can still sin, and there will be consequences for our sins. Our sins are forgiven, but there can be real issues that result from sin. For example, if we steal, even if it is just one time, and we ask for forgiveness, we will be forgiven, but we still might have to spend time in jail or make reparations. If we lie and cheat, we will be forgiven, but others might not trust us. There are consequences to sin. We are not free to live our lives without thought. If we are saved, we desire the things of God and not of the world. That doesn't mean we won't fall into temptation, but we will seek to imitate Jesus. Our desire will be to do what is righteous in the sight of God. And if and when we slip up, we will seek forgiveness and have peace that we will still be called a child of God and will be spoken for in the time of judgment. This sin for the believer doesn't lead to death. We have our advocate who will stand before God the Father at the time of judgment. He will speak for us and He will know us. Romans 8:31-34. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." And in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." And finally, John 6:36-40. "But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." As Christians, we should be encouraged and filled with thankfulness. Our prayers are heard by the Creator, the Lord of all, by our Heavenly Father. We can pray with confidence. Brethren, we are called to be in prayer for each other and to pray for each other's struggles. We are to pray for our brethren who are in sin that does not lead to death, praying that they will repent and walk in righteousness. We can pray for those who are headed for death, that the Lord may open their eyes if it is His will. We can be confident that our prayers will be answered in His perfect will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how blessed are we to be able to say that, Lord, our Heavenly Father, You have called us and given us a gift that we cannot repay. Let us be humble in the knowledge that You have given us this gift, not by anything we have done, but by Your choice, calling us to You. What a privilege it is to be called a child of God. Thank You, our Lord and Savior. Amen.